Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the congressman from District 1, the great state of Nevada. A very timely interview. Ray Hager has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. She represents the Las Vegas Strip, and she's Nevada's expert resident on the Middle East.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel, the mayor of Carson City, Bob Kroll. All coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
This segment is brought to you by Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck. Important cases, significant deals, meaningful legislation. Whether in boardrooms, courtrooms, or halls of government, Brownstein is there. Where can we be for you? This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. Pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're an expert on the Middle East and especially Israel and all things Israel. Your thoughts on what's going on in Egypt right now?
Well, I think this is a very volatile situation. The United States can't afford to get this one wrong. We have strategic interests in the area, obviously. Egypt has been a strong ally, although I can tell you that the times I have met with Mubarak, he is probably one of my least favorite people in the Middle East.
Why?
Very arrogant, very self-absorbed, this feeling of entitlement. Here the United States of America has been giving Egypt, and Mubarak has become an amazingly wealthy man in the 30 years that he's served as president, without being elected very often, I might add.
He gets elected with 99% of the vote.
Well, yes, it's quite an amazing feat for somebody who's so despised. But we systematically give Egypt $2 billion a year. You would think that he would be more willing to meet with the very people that are giving his country those kind of resources, but it was as if he was lowering himself to come to the United States, talk to his allies, and work with the very people that were sustaining him and his government.
He's pretty much done. It's just a question of time now, isn't it?
I think he's a dead man walking, and the only one that doesn't know it apparently is Mubarak. The challenge here is to do this right. The United States of America cannot appear to be part of an overthrow of an ally who has been very helpful to us. No matter what my personal feelings are about Mubarak, the reality is he has enforced the peace agreement with Israel, even though Egypt was initially thrown out of the Arab League because of signing that agreement. The reality is it stuck. Now, it's a cold peace, but it's a peace. He's also been very, very helpful in our war against terrorism and, of course, in trying to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons. All of that being said, the fact of the matter is that ever since Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, and now the Obama administration have been admonishing this man to institute reforms that were going to be helpful to the Egyptian people. He obviously refused. Quite the contrary, he's become more of a dictator over the years, and this is the result. He's got a country in crisis. There are a million people in the streets of Cairo today, and he's going to have to step down. We cannot afford a void. If there's a void, the Islamic Brotherhood and a number of other terrorist organizations are going to fill that void. He needs to step down and do this in an orderly manner so that somebody can step up and take his place and have free and fair elections for the Egyptian people.
You know, it's very interesting that the young people in Egypt are the ones responsible for this uprising, and the Muslim Brotherhood has been late to the game. And I want to point out, because things are going to change by the time this airs over the weekend, we're taping this Tuesday, February 1st, but the older people and the Muslim Brotherhood, El Baradei, have joined in on what has been a youthful revolution. And certainly in my time in Egypt, which was not a huge amount of time, but in the week I was there, I found Egyptians to be nothing but friendly towards Americans. Mm-hmm. They may not like the American government, but they're not, they don't dislike the American people.
And I don't disagree with you, but I think time is of the essence now, and the situation is very, very fluid. So the United States, there's just a limit to what we can do, but the importance is putting an interim president in, and El Baradei seems to be the choice of the Egyptian people. Let us get this right. The ramifications for the United States of America are huge. If we can find an interim leader, and I believe El Baradei would be this person, that would agree to enforce the peace agreement with Israel and continue to enforce the barricade and protect the borders between the Gaza and Egypt so that the flow of contraband is at least slowed. It's never stopped, but slowed, then I think we have a leader we could do business with.
Congresswoman, to change the subject, I was wondering what your opinion of Sarah Palin was when she used the term blood libel, which of course, refers to a rumor that fueled anti-Semitism for almost 900 years, after she was criticized for her rhetoric after the shooting of Congressman Giffords, who, like you, is Jewish.
I thought it was a catastrophic mistake for her future. You know, whether you agree with Sarah Palin or you don't, you have to admire this woman's moxie. Mm-hmm. And she has captured the imagination of a pretty substantial percentage of the American people. If it's 20%, 30%, whatever it is, that's pretty extraordinary. I do not think she accorded herself well in the aftermath of the tragedy in Tucson. And using the term blood libel, I'm not even sure she fully understood what it meant, but it did send shockwaves through the community for those of us that understand the ramifications of those words.
Okay, now, of course, getting back to the situation in Egypt, do you see any parallels with the unrest in Egypt to that of Iran in 1979 when the Ayatollah came in? Because if that kind of happens in Egypt, that's really bad for the West.
Oh, it's a disaster. I mean, let us keep in mind how important Egypt is. Egypt is not Tunisia or Algeria or Yemen. It is the most populous, most important Arab country on the planet. And as goes Egypt, may go the rest of the Middle East. We have very vital strategic interests. The entire Western world does. So it's important to make sure that we do make the distinction, but also be very mindful of the parallels. This does not appear, as Sam pointed out, to be a radical Islamic uprising. Mm-hmm. This seems to be more economically and societally based. So I think there are differences, but one must be very cautious, and that's why it will be important for that orderly transition if Mubarak continues to hang on to power, and there is no orderly transition, then the radical elements throughout the Middle East are going to start gravitating towards Egypt. They're probably moving there now. They're going to hijack this protest, and we're going to have hell to pay, and this could be a wave across the entire Middle East. Very serious situation.
More with Congressman Berkley when we come back.
Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Shelley Berkley. A news story breaking this morning after protests, King of Jordan dismisses government.
Yes,
Your
yes.
thoughts on that?
I think there's a distinction between Egypt and Jordan. The people of Jordan seem to like their royal family. However, we have to remember that there is a very large Palestinian population in Jordan, and it's
almost
right
overwhelming.
Next door. Overwhelming, particularly, and as you know, after the 67 war, the West Bank was all Palestinian, and rather than during the peace agreements, the peace negotiations with Jordan and Israel, Jordan didn't want the West Bank back. They said to Israel, you keep it, and that's how, unfortunately, Israel has inherited this very serious issue of settlements and everything else with the Palestinians living in the West Bank. Jordan didn't want the aggravation anymore. But you're absolutely right, Sam. There's a very large percentage of the Jordanian people that have Palestinian roots. But I think that the King of Jordan, who has been a very, very strong ally of the United States, again, not the powerhouse that Egypt is, but I think they can weather this storm unless this is such an amazing wave that it just overtakes the entire Middle East, and that's a possibility too.
Let's talk about the army in Egypt, because they are a beloved institution. Unlike the police and the security forces, they have great respect for the Egyptian people. The Egyptian people have great respect for them, and they are really controlling the situation. Aren't they the ones that actually decide whether Mubarak stays or goes?
You know, I was watching a news account this morning, and I quite agree with it. As goes the army, is going to go Egypt, and it depends on whether the military chooses to shoot at the Egyptian people.
And they said they're not going to do that.
And they said they're not going to do that. So in the end, it's unfortunately may come down to a choice of protecting Mubarak, protecting the Egyptian people, and the army is going to be pivotal with that.
Congresswoman, in your District 1, which represents the Las Vegas Strip, mm-hmm. you have a lot of senior citizens. So I wanted to ask you about the future of the health care reform mm-hmm. after the federal judge in Florida yesterday mm-hmm. ruled it unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Now, two judges have ruled it unconstitutional. Yes. Two judges say it's cool. What do you know? Will this go to the Supreme Court eventually?
It'll definitely go to the Supreme Court. The mandate that every American be insured, and those that can't afford to pay for the insurance are subsidized by the federal government. Now, one wonders about this mandate, but the reality is this: there are 600,000 Nevadans that have no health insurance whatsoever. It doesn't mean that they don't get sick. It means that they get very sick, and they wait until they have to go to the emergency room. I can't tell you what's happening in Northern Nevada with your hospitals, but I can tell you in Southern Nevada, there isn't a single hospital that's not operating in the red. UMC, the county hospital, just came out with a report that if they can't turn their financial situation around, that they're going to have to close their doors, and that's going to be a disaster for the whole community. Emergency room care is extraordinarily more expensive than if you have insurance and you're going to see your doctor on a timely basis. This is a crisis. My husband and my stepdaughter are both doctors. We do health care in my family. My husband's livelihood depends on health care. He's not a wild and crazy guy. He's a pretty conservative man, and he will tell you that the current health care system is broken, and unless we do something, it could very easily fall apart.
Okay, now this mandate to have health insurance, how is that different from the mandate to have insurance if you're going to drive a car?
Well, actually, it's interesting you should mention that, because when I served in the legislature, that was my legislation to ensure that anybody that is licensed to drive in the state of Nevada and has a vehicle has insurance, so that if you should have an accident with someone that's uninsured, you're plumb out of luck. So we instituted that. We passed that legislation back in the 1983 legislative session. I think people that are opposed to this, the health care bill, would argue, and I certainly, let me give you their point of view. That's a state law as opposed to the federal government mandating it. However, you need to have a healthy pool if you are in fact going, a healthy pool of people, if you are in fact going to eliminate the pre-existing condition and the lifetime caps, because what insurance company would insure somebody that they know already has a pre-existing condition and the cost of health care and health insurance would be higher unless you had a healthy pool, everybody paying into it. So there were reasons for the mandate, and I just don't think it's been explained very well to the American people.
Okay. And you've got 4 years to do it, essentially. Well, 3 years, I guess. Let me change topics on you. Breaking news today, special counsel added in Senate ethics probes of John Ensign. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this is just the orderly process. This isn't a surprise to anybody, particularly Senator Ensign. There's going to be an investigation from the Senate Ethics Committee. This was the first step, appointing a counsel to look into the allegations, and I am sure that the counsel and her staff will report in a timely manner to the Ethics Committee.
You think it'll be a timely manner of about a year and a half?
It'll be by then, I am sure.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think it's just going to continue to be ongoing and create a major problem for Senator Ensign?
I think Senator Ensign has a whole host of problems already. You're not going to be able to rush this. Once the appointment of the counsel is made, the Ethics Committee is pretty much out of it. They don't determine how long the investigation's going to take. They're going to be waiting for the report in the end and then make their decision on what, if any, penalties Mr. Ensign and Senator Ensign will receive.
So do you think the results will come out around October of 2012?
I suspect sooner than that, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Okay, Senator Ensign said that he wants to raise $1 million in short order to be able to show that he's viable as a candidate. Mm-hmm. How much money are you sitting on at this point?
The last FEC report after the election, I had slightly over $1 million in the bank.
And are you starting to raise funds now?
I am yes, I am.
And this would be for a senatorial bid?
Right now, I'm the sitting congresswoman for the 1st Congressional District in Nevada, and I'm raising money for my reelection.
Okay, but you had told me in a previous interview that your phone had been ringing off the hook with people wanting you to run for that seat.
That continues to be the case. You know, the
when
irony...
When do you make a decision by?
I've decided that there's no rush. Initially, I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I better announce very early. But I realized that this is a pretty important decision to make. It doesn't matter to me who my Republican opponent will ultimately be. This is a more personal decision in how I would and if I would be able to ably represent the entire state of Nevada. So I'm taking my time. I'm meeting with people. I'm up here in Reno this week just to touch bases with old friends and kind of take the pulse of the people of Reno and see how they feel.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Dan,
we look forward to you coming back. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
I was the first born. My dad, he expected a boy. That's why my nickname's Bobby. There's something really rewarding.
On the next face-to-face, President Obama created the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission to examine the causes, domestic and global, of the current financial and economic crisis. We'll speak to two Nevadans on that board, Byron Giorgio and Heather Murren.
We switched our home internet to AT&T for the speed, and now we're on a mission to visit all their hotspots.
Because they're all over the city.
We're going hotspot hopping. One hotspot to the next hotspot, nonstop.
With AT&T, you can go hotspot hopping too. Hurry, call today and get all the speed you need for an amazing $14.95 a month for 12 months with select services and a one-year price guarantee. Plus, get access to the entire AT&T national Wi-Fi network at no extra cost.
We had fun, but there were some close calls too.
What do you think it's in here?
The battery's dangerous.
It's not in this bag.
Call today and get all the speed you need for an amazing $14.95 a month for 12 months with select services and a one-year price guarantee. Plus, take your home internet with you on the entire AT&T national Wi-Fi network.
These are like little, you know, souvenirs from hotspots around the corner and across the country.
This is the Eiffel Tower. We didn't go to France, but we went to a French restaurant. The connection was really good there.
Click on MyNews4.com and get the best in today's news and events. Customize your homepage to get only the articles and video that you want to see. Browse the latest news, sports, and weather only on MyNews4.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a power pundit panel of one, the powerful one, and that's the mayor of Carson City, Bob Crowell. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Hello.
Let's start out with federal judge rules health law violates Constitution. Your thoughts on this and where it's heading?
Well, you know, you've got now four federal district court decisions, and you know, I think the next step is the two for and two against on the constitutionality, mostly based around the issue of mandatory health insurance, you know, I think the next step is it goes to the appellate level, and then it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and so we'll see where it goes.
Do you think it'll fast track to the Supreme Court?
I think, you know, my sense is it will be. I think it'll be fast tracked to the Supreme Court.
How do you feel about the constitutionality of it?
You know, I get mixed emotions about it. One, you know, I philosophically, you know, and personally, I kind of don't like government forcing people to do things. On the other side, you know, there, you know, we do things in this world for the good of the common, for the common good, and I know that, you know, people have raised the issue of you know, we pay for motor carrier insurance, and that's a mandatory requirement, and the argument on that is, hey, you know, that's a state thing and that's not a federal thing. You know, on the other side of that, you know there is an analogy, and for health care, you can say on the automobile, hey, you know, if you're going to drive an automobile, you got to have health insurance. It's difficult, or you got to have car insurance. It's difficult to go to tell a person to go to the emergency room, hey, before you go to the door of the emergency room, you got to have a health insurance policy. You can't do that. But there's similar types of services. I mean, they're requirements, and so it seems to me that you know, there is a whole lot to be said about trying to find a way where the cost to society caused by those who don't have insurance, who place it on the healthcare system by going to the emergency room, or other forms of health care, there needs to be some way of taking care of that. And you know, it's not lost on me that the idea of mandatory health insurance has been around for some time. And it's not just a liberal or conservative issue. You know, I think it started out as a conservative point of view. So,
and you know, in talking to the Congressman Berkeley, it just seems that the sales job done so far has been pretty poor by the Democrats. They're starting to ramp up and make more sense, and they're now talking about, well, do you want to take away the donut hole coverage, and do you want to take away other things, you know, the kids being insured until they're in college. Are they starting to do a better job of selling it now?
Well, I think that my own little view is that the Democrats have a terrible issue, terrible, have done not a great job of messaging, and not to talk politics a little bit here. You know what I heard a story. Talk politics here. You know, I heard a little story about the difference between messaging between Democrats and Republicans, which, you know, is may have some merit to it. You know, is it Republican messaging is focused around moral issues, and Democrat messaging is around policy issues, and I think there's something in, you know, they're both generated towards a goal, but they have different forms of communicating towards that goal, and I think that the Democrats, you know, if you move on the side of saying, hey, you're going to have a policy, your message is going to be based around policy, you better be careful how you do that, because you can get lost in the weeds real hard. And I think that the Democrats have not been very good at that.
Bob, let me change the subject.
Sure,
to
sorry.
The Nevada legislature. It starts the day after the Super Bowl. There's so many new lawmakers at the legislature, and people have said that this gives such a tremendous advantage to the lobbyists at the legislature. Before you were the mayor, you've been a lobbyist. Do you feel that these new lawmakers are that kind of spineless, that they're going to let the lobbyists take over?
No, I don't see that. You know, to some extent, I think that the idea of having a whole bunch of freshman legislators, you know, somehow means that there's going to be a different dynamic in the legislature is overplayed and overblown. If anything, people get elected to go down there to they've run, they've listened to the people, they come with a message, and really, to me, the area where the learning curve is learning the process and learning how you interact with your fellow legislators to get things done, and that's a learning curve. But I mean, other than that, I don't see a big change.
And that's where we have to leave it. Mayor Bob, thank you so much. We're out of time. We'll
Holy
be right
smokes.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Want to maximize your business potential? Power your success with reliable solutions from Charter Business. Save up to 40% and get free installation when you bundle internet, phone, and TV. Call now to take advantage of this offer.
How would you like to turn these into cash? Come into Internet Auto Rent and Sales and take advantage of Cash for Keys. Right now we're paying top dollar for your used vehicle, whether it's paid for or not. Even if you're not buying from us, we still want your vehicle. Your free appraisal, and you can walk away with cash for keys. It's cash for keys, and it's only at Internet Auto Rent and Sales on the corner of Kitsky and Vassar.
The Atlantis $230,000 Double Take Cash and Cars Giveaway. Drive away with one of two all-wheel drive 2011 328xi BMWs to be given away. Win in our popular $10,000 all-cash Sunday drawings at 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. each Sunday. 30 winners guaranteed. Swipe your Club Paradise card daily for free bonus entries. The Atlantis $230,000 Double Take Cash and Cars Giveaway. Must be 21. Visit Club Paradise for more details.
When accidents happen, where can you turn? Galloway & Jensen, one of Reno's finest personal injury law firms. Bob and Graham have over 50 years' experience defending folks just like you. They know how insurance companies defend claims. They know how they'll evaluate your injury. And they know when to take them to court.
Why go it alone against the insurance companies?
Call us today. We'll fight for you.
Call Galloway & Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
Looking for smart business ideas? Power your success with reliable solutions from Charter Business. Save up to 40% and get free installation when you bundle internet, phone, and TV. Call now to take advantage of this offer.
Thanks for watching. Tomorrow's guest is Janet Geary, publisher of Nevada Magazine, celebrating 75 years.